You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Now, as many of you know, we are journeying through a four-part series entitled Past Perfect. We began this series by talking about the Lamb of God, and we said that this series is about verses in the Old Testament that reflect the perfection of Christ in the New Testament. And so we looked at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We saw that in the book of Genesis. It's review that, and we looked at the idea of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The week after that, Pastor Steve was here, and we looked at the reference of the high priest and how Jesus was the mediator between us and God. And finally, we looked last week at the suffering servant and what it cost Jesus to bring us into that relationship with God. Today we end our series, and the title of this particular message is The Last Adam. Adam and Eve had the perfect scenario. Adam and Eve had the presence of God. Nothing could be more direct, more convenient, more available than the relationship that Adam and Eve had. Absolute presence of God, absolute protection of God, absolute provision of God, the absolute perfections of God were there. And yet, in the midst of all of that, which is a dangerous thought, if you think about this, presence alone is not enough. Lucifer, who is known as the angel of light, was in the presence of God. He was the worship leader. And many times people think that if I'm just in the presence of God, all's well. Well, we know from Scripture that Adam and Eve were in the presence of God, and Lucifer himself was in the presence of God, and yet both of them disobeyed God. Because at the end of the day, it's not presence. You can be in church present every Sunday. If you don't obey God, you have nothing. Man, it's quiet this morning. Is it the rain? You don't like this message. But this is the truth. And too many Christians think it's just presence. You know, the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. No. God wants you to obey. Adam and Eve had everything. The presence of God, the provision of God, the goodness of God, the protection of God, the promises of God. Lucifer did not just have everything. He was standing in the throne room of God. The issue is not just that. The issue is obedience. And that's what separates the first Adam because of his disobedience and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, and his obedience. What differentiates the two is that simple reality. And we want to look at Scripture and what happened in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam. This is now the story of Adam. This is now the lineage, the heritage, the succeeding generations after Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, made them male and female, and created them, and he blessed them, and he named them man, and they were created. He was talking about this idea of the generations of Adam that were made in the image and likeness of God. Adam, in his perfection, had everything that the good stuff of God in him, the freedom of God. And yet, because of his disobedience, we find in the next verses, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son like his own likeness. Now, what happened is, after Adam and Eve sinned, the likeness of God died. The image of God in Adam had died because of sin and disobedience. And now the generations that came after Adam are no longer in the likeness of God, but are now in the likeness of Adam. They're now made in his image. They're now after Adam, the fallen man's image, and no longer in the image of God. They've lost it. In which case, it's like a corrupted disc. Do we still use those things? A corrupted USB. In other words, if you copy that, the corruption in that thing, or it's probably just a sheet of paper that you're photocopying, if you copy that, the next generations are going to be exactly like that thing that got corrupted, that thing that's blemished and smeared, because you're copying the wrong thing. And that's what happened here. And he named him Seth. In the days of Adam had fathered, there were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and then he died. God said to Adam, Adam, if you sin against me, if you go this route, if you go this route of corruption, you may live for 800 years, But trust me when I tell you that the ending of this is death. It is going to be ugly for you. And in his mercy and grace, he allowed 800 more years for Adam to realize the folly and the foolishness of the life he was living so he could turn around and go back to God, but he didn't, in which case he died. Interestingly, the succeeding verse, when Seth had lived to be 105 years old, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh. Now he's the duplicate of his father. Thus, after the days of it, he died, basically. Genesis chapter 5 is literally a chronicle of people who just died. People who just copied after Adam and after Adam and after Adam. And it was nonstop death. That's what we inherited from the first Adam. We inherited death. There's a guarantee. Now you can dress up as well. By the way, if you're wondering, somebody walked up to me this morning and said, you were wearing exactly the same thing last week. I said, yeah. Well, actually, no. I just computed. I'm 58 years old. I intend to live for another 40, so about 98. And I thought there's 365 decisions every year about what I'm going to wear. I've just decided I'm going to buy 20 black T-shirts. I already have 4 of these blue sweaters anyway. And so I'm just going to change my pants. And since that leaves me with 35,000 decisions for the rest of my life, I'm going to wear a uniform from now on. And so as not to die, I'm going to change my pants collars. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, just before Adam and Eve died, God warned them. He was trying to coax them into repentance, and they wouldn't. And finally, Satan was the victor, basically. Adam gave his dominion, his power, for let go of the presence of God. And the result was the Lord cursed Satan. He said, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field. And on your belly you shall go. Basically, you're probably wondering, is the snake the devil? Is the devil this? No. At that period of moment in time, the devil was cast down onto earth, okay? And there were animals here, and there was a man and woman. There was no one else to tempt Adam and Eve. And because Satan is a spiritual being, he needed to masquerade himself into a physical being and found a snake. In other words, he was speaking through the snake. The snakes don't speak, amen? It's a spiritual temptation that happened there. And so God curses this animal. But more importantly, he begins to speak and address Satan himself. He says, I will put enmity before you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is what is often referred to as protevangelism. Catholics refer to this. Protestants refer to this. Just about every Christian denomination refers to this. This is the past perfect verse we're looking at. The first time that salvation and God's redemption shows up in Scripture is right here, where God is saying, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Notice it wasn't you and the man, because God was not after the seed of Adam. He was about to use the woman with a brand new seed in Jesus. Are you following? He didn't say, okay, it's going to be a fight between you and man. No, man's over. I've got to do something great and supernatural and new, something with superpowers. I'm going to use the woman because I'm going to show you how I can restore man. And between you and the offspring and her offspring, they're going to have a fight between man and demons and all of these things. And he talks about the offsprings, and he will bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. Basically, this coming Savior, this next Adam, this last Adam, this second man will bruise your head. It'll crush your head. And the best that you can do is bite his toe, his heel. In other words, he's going to suffer for a while. He's going to suffer a death, a violent death, which we saw last week. But you are going to get crushed. That's the promise. That's protevangelism. The first picture of the coming of Jesus Christ. And he says, your offspring. I mean, if you know, Satan does not give birth. He's a spirit. What he means by that are the fruit, the children, the people who follow him. In which case, that's Adam, who's now become one of his guys. Stabbed God on the back and said, I'm going with you. I'm following you. In which case, he said, no, I'm going to have the second Adam. the last Adam, who will change the way life was meant to be lived. Change marriages, change families, change the future, change destinies. You just heard the testimony of that young girl who is being lured by temptation, being lured by the wrong ways of life, and by the grace of God, by the truth of God's word, was delivered and set free, and is now helping change other women. Now, our text really is the present text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. As in Adam, everybody is now photocopied into this death, this sin. Don't expect sinners to get more righteous. It's just going to get worse. The degree of corruption just going to get worse from one copy to the next. But in Christ, as we put our life in Jesus, the new Adam, the last Adam, the second man, we are made alive. Now, exactly in verse 45, thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. It says, basically, here's the difference. The first Adam lost his dominion, his power, his place, his destiny. In other words, he is a loser. If you ever wondered what a loser looks like, that's what it looks like. The second Adam did not, the first Adam was given life and lost it. The second Adam was not just given life, he is life and he gives life. The first Adam received it and lost it. The second Adam kept it and blessed all of us with this life. And that's really the topic that I have for you this morning. What does that life really look like? What was that life that the second Adam gave us? Instead of being defeated, instead of being failures, instead of being losers, instead of not being people of destiny. I spoke to the couples retreat. We had 150 couples, one of our biggest couples retreat, which is amazing. And I was telling them about the reality that homes and families are literally outposts of Christ in neighborhoods. That God has put forth in these places to reach others with the truth of his word. And I talked to them about destiny and how important that is. Verse 47, the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. Okay, look at the person beside you. Does he look like a man of dust? Okay, that's the first man. If you are made and cut out of the old photocopying machine, you are destined for dust. But the second Adam, the second man, is a man from heaven. It's totally different nature, totally different characteristics. That's what you have in Jesus Christ. One of the things that happens to us when we just play religion is we hear good theological teaching, but we don't fully understand the essence and the power that Jesus did for us, which basically changed our nature. We are now not the same person. We are not the people that are turning into dust. We are actually people who are becoming like the man of heaven. Are you here? You should be jumping up and down by now. You should be so excited. I'm not destined. The rest of the world who don't have Christ, they're headed for the dustbin. I'm headed for life. Abundant life. As Jesus gave me that. Now, what does that look like? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new species. That word, by the way, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are literally not the same species. You're not made of the same material. You're the literal and physical alien that they've been talking about for years. That's what it means. You're alien. You're not the same. You don't behave the same way. You don't have the same values. You don't have the same nature. You don't laugh at the same jokes. Why? I have just a different nature. I don't have the nature of a loser. I have the nature of a winner. All things are going to work together for my good. Why? Because of what Jesus did for me. He's the second Adam. I don't have to be like the other Adam. Now, what does that look like? Man of the dust versus man of heaven. What does that look like? Man of the dust is dead in sin, progressively just getting worse. The nature is sinful. You just don't have the capacity to say no to sin. It's the nature of the man of the dust. And you keep wondering, why am I back where I came from? I thought I was moving. Yeah, you're moving. You're moving in a treadmill of death. You're really not going anywhere. Or some of you, you're moving around, but you're going in a cul-de-sac. You're actually on two ends of two cul-de-sacs. You're just going around. You're really not going anywhere. And some of you, you're literally headed for a ravine. There's going to be a big, bad crash. Because you're dead to sin. You're dead in sin. The man of heaven is dead to sin. And by the way, folks, don't get me wrong. This is not, I just told you this last week. You could wake up tomorrow and trip yourself and say the S word in the middle of the night. Maybe nobody heard you but your dog, but God heard you. Amen? In other words, we will still sin, but we're not dead in it. We're progressively moving forward because we're progressively becoming dead to sin. The bite of sin, the delight of sin, the testings of sin, the temptations of sin, we're progressively dying to. And if we're the men of the dust, there's power over us. Sin has power over us. When we are men of heaven, men of God, men of the Spirit, we have power over sin. We can actually say no to sin. I remember I used to drink heavily. As a teenager, I was taught to drink. My parents didn't see anything wrong with it. So I learned to drink everything from beer to vodka to tequila and brandy. I drank them all. Okay, and back in the 70s, you looked cool if you were a teenager and you did that. And I remember the day I became a Christian. It was 1984, and not only did I drink a lot, I smoked a lot, and I just didn't smoke cigarettes. I smoked other stuff. And I didn't have the power to say no. But when I heard somebody tell me that my nature is different, in fact, that verse in 2 Corinthians, I can't remember how many times somebody said that to me. You were a new creation, Joey. You're not the same person. I love my small group. They would always look at me and say, you're a new creation. You're a new creation in Christ. And finally, I just believed it. I'm a new creation. I'm not the old guy. And I remember I went to a party and everybody was smoking and drinking and they were passing joints around and you could hear the clinks of the glasses and the ice and I could smell the liquor and every now and then I get tempted with these things, okay? To be honest, every now and then when I'm in the States, I buy O'Doul's, these non-alcoholic beer, because I just want to taste. But I'm just telling you the truth because that's my background. And I walk and I walk in there and I could hear all the drinking and I remember standing there. And my brother walking up to me, and he looked at me and said, oh, Moses, how are you today? It was like accusing me. And he was showing me this glass of whiskey, and he was shaking the glass. The demon is real. Actually, he's in some of you. The demon of sleepiness is bothering some of you right now. And I remember looking at my brother and I thought, and I remember that verse, I'm a new creation. The old is gone. It was a turning point. It was a turning point in my life. I can say no to sin. I looked at my friends and I said, if these guys are not getting away from this, then they're leaving my life. Because I don't belong here. I belong in heaven. I'm not a man of the dust. I'm a child of a king. I don't belong here anymore. I left that party that day, and progressively, through the years, today, almost 33 years, I've not been there. Never touched it again. Never drowned in it again. Never got drunk again, never got stoned again, because there's something about us that has power over sin. And if you don't think you have it, it's really not because you don't have it, it's because you've chosen not to have it. But the fact of the matter is, if you are a Christian born of the Spirit of God, you have power over sin. Don't kid yourself and say, you know what, I don't have power. No. You chose that because you like that better than the things of God. Okay? check if you're sin, if you're man of the dust or man of heaven, you're disobedient. No, there's only one commandment in the entire Bible. One. Obey. And trust me when I tell you, if you obey God, life gets better. And every time you disobey God and try to do it your way, it gets worse. If you are a man from heaven, Jesus was obedient, even to death. Nothing's good about the cross. Nothing looks right about the cross, but he did it. Why? Because he knew that if I obey God, if I obey the Father, things will go well with me. And finally, foolish versus wise. The man of the dust is foolish. He just does foolish things. It's just, why do you do these things? Why do you want to destroy yourself? There's wisdom. There's people around you. There's the church. There are people who actually walk in the ways of God that can help you here. Let me tell you something about two changing in nature. What does that really look like? This is a picture of charcoal. And this is a picture of coal. Side by side, they look alike. You put pressure on charcoal, it becomes dust. You put pressure on coal, it becomes diamonds. Because one is made from a very different nature. They may look alike. That Christian who's obeying God and following God, he may actually look like you. You may actually reference and say, you know what, our marriage is not really that different. Our life's not really that. Our car, I actually have a better car than him. I actually have a better business. I actually have a happier family. No. You're not thinking aright. You are not of the same nature. One is going to be crushed by pressure. The other one will journey to become a diamond. Because when you are in Christ, you're no longer the old Adam. You're the new Adam. New nature. Different person. You don't have to try. It's really not about theology. Don't get me wrong. I love theology. I'm a theologian. That's what I do. But it really isn't about it, folks. It's about knowing deep down inside of you, who are you in Christ Jesus? Because when you know that, that nature will progressively make you the diamond you were meant to be. It's just a matter of time and pressure. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. In other words, if you follow that way of Adam, that's who you're going to be. And as is the man of heaven, so also those who are of heaven. Not just a new nature. A new nature gives us a new outlook. We just view life differently. When you have the old nature of Adam, you have a different nature. Hence, you have a wrong way of looking at life. A person who's got the life and nature of God has a way of looking at life very differently. Man of the dust and man of the heaven, there's a difference. One looks as he's doomed to death. You wake up every day literally with this sense of fear and doom. This day's not going to work. You know that deep down inside. And you're going to try so hard in this treadmill to run the course. You're going to try and make it, juggle your life through. You're just feeling this sense of doom. The man of heaven is destined for heaven. I got nothing to prove. Got nothing to hide. Got nothing to fear. It's all good. Don't have to walk very fast. I can actually walk slow. If I wanted faster, I can also go fast. Because I'm headed in the right direction. You know, if you're headed in the wrong direction, you can go as fast or as slow as you want. You're headed in the wrong direction. It's a place of doom. But it's the place of life. That's what Jesus did. He gave you a new life, a new nature, a new outlook, a new way of looking at life. It's accused and condemned. You're always feeling accused. You're always feeling, you're always wondering, what do they think? All these guys who do theater, I'm seeing Tim and Tina here, we're from New York, and you have these Broadway stars that they do one show and they get a standing ovation and they're so happy. And the next day they see the reviews, they open the magazine, and the critics say this is the lousiest play ever, and they're depressed for a week. We're so prone to what people say about us rather than really knowing what God has to say about me. You know why? Because we're perpetually accused and condemned. You know what Jesus did for you? He acquitted you and set you free. I got just nothing to prove. But please don't make a mistake of thinking you're more important, because you really are not. And to the men from heaven, they'd watch you and say, insecurity is always ugly. Is it clear to you who you are? Are you acquitted and free? Or are you accused and condemned and insecure and have to prove yourself because you're still of the old Adam rather than being of the new Adam? He's a faker and a poser. He's genuine and real. He's not saying he's more righteous or I'm more perfect. No, he's actually saying, well, I came from there, but thanks be to God, the new Adam came. I don't deserve it. I don't even know why he did it for me, but thanks be to God he did. It's a good thing to know. I'm safe. I'm healed. I'm restored. I'm free. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm acquitted. Every stupid, silly, foolish thing I did has been erased. The descendants of Joey are going to be blessed, not because of anything he's done, but because of what the last Adam did. And that's the one I identify with. And that's my final point. Verse 49, just as we have been born of the image of the dust, of the man of dust, so shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. A new identity. Not just a new nature. That progresses on to a new way of looking at life, and that progresses on to just, that's just, I'm just different. I'm not, that's not me anymore. It's a new identity. It's the difference. You know, some of us here in this room, when your wife looks at you, they're not sure, is he really dust or heaven? It's kind of like this picture. You're not sure, is this good or evil? I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this guy's identity. I'm not sure if he's really good or evil. You know, when you want to know someone's identity, you get their ID cards. When you get someone's ID card, you see, okay, wait a minute. That's your high school picture. You're 58 years old. This ID is expired. Some of you, you're still living your life like you have, but your ID is expired. Some of you are still trying to play like you're a hippie in the 70s. Hello. The people who wore those clothes are dead. Some of you, you're acting like you're kids. You're still playing video games. You're married. Hello. You can't live in a pseudo world or pretend. You live in a real world where people die, where wars are fought, where there's such a thing as courage and sacrifice. Wake up. You're wearing an ID. When they call you, can I see your ID? It's expired. You're living a life that's expired. It's over. Those things move forward in God. Some of you, you have a fake ID. Your ID is not expired, it's fake. You know how, you know, if you try going through immigration with a fake ID, and you're going to be forever be not just a loser, you're going to be forever in fear. People who are holding fake IDs are always in fear. And worse, one day, they're going to catch you. They're going to catch the real you. You're going to get busted because your ID is fake. But there's a real ID. ID of the new Adam. The last one. The second man. The man from heaven. That's your ID. And by the way, if you gave your life to Christ, that's instantaneous. That nature is instantaneous. The only reason why you don't see it is because you refuse to choose what's right. And you insist in disobeying. But that nature is yours. That outlook is yours. That identity is yours. That's who you're supposed to be. That's how you're supposed to live. That's how you're supposed to view life. That's how you're supposed to act. That's how you're supposed to manage your finances. That's how you're supposed to love your wife. As I close, we had our couples retreat yesterday at Clark in Pampanga. My wife and I were speaking, and we had to get out of our home at 6 in the morning, drive down the boy was raining, and we had to get dressed, speak. And in the afternoon, she got hungry. And she said, "Sweetie, can we have a little snack?" So I drove out of the hotel, and we couldn't find anything, and we ended up in a Chowking. So I'm sitting in Chowking, and I see these two guys who were obviously homosexuals, and this young girl who had a skirt so short it looked like a belt. And I'm standing in the line, and I'm watching these two men and this girl. This girl is obviously probably 16, 17, 18 years old, and she had makeup like she was already dead. And so they ordered, and they sat in a chair. My wife already got a chair for us, so she's sitting there. I didn't realize that they sat right behind her. So I got our food. I got our trays. So I'm eating, and it says, and then the girl goes up, and she gets water. And she's walking back to her table, and my wife sees this thing. And you got to understand something about my wife. My wife is the sweetest woman in the universe, not even in the world, in the universe. But you do something unrighteous, that woman from heaven rises up. Because that's her nature. And she saw this girl and said, how can she wear a skirt like that? And how can she have makeup like that? And she sits behind her. And I said, "Hon, that girl is being peddled right now. In broad daylight at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she's being offered to this man. You see this man coming here? Yes. That old man is going to sit there, and those two guys are going to sell this girl to him." "Are you sure? That might be her uncle." "No, because I said, because when I was standing in the counter, I saw them give her a prophylactic." That's a condom, for those of you who don't know that term. I said, "That's what's happening here, babe." So my wife takes her phone and clicks the camera at the bar and starts looking at the three of them, the four of them. And she starts praying. She's going to pray for our meal. "Lord, bless our meal, and the fear of the Lord be in this place. Expose the hidden works of darkness." I'm telling you, I mean, this is the woman from heaven here. And so that was done. We were eating. I'm having good sado shopao, tokwa, etc. I mean, I'm full. And I'm glad. I'm getting out. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to go back to the hotel. I'm going to take a nap because I've got a party at night for the couples retreat. I'm walking out. And as I turned, I knew, oh, no, 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 no. There's my wife headed towards their table. You know my wife. She's sweet. She looks at this girl, "God's got a destiny for you." And that's not what it is. "And the three of you, I'm going to pray that the fear of God will be in you." I was standing shocked, and I thought, my karate chops are about to come out here. Okay. And she's done this to me many times. So with the grace of God, I'm still alive. And she's looking at these guys, and they're looking back. And the poor girl's head was down. The devil steals identities, folks. He wants to turn you and I into dust. Church is losing ground because we are not sure who we are. We're identifying too much with it. The only reason why the devil will have a hand over you is you still let him deceive you. Grow up. Grow up and start identifying with the real Adam, the second one. The one who can change your nature. The one who will change your outlook. The one who will change you and your destiny forever. And the one who will give you your identity. Not the guy who's accomplished. Not the famous preacher, pastor, businessman, car dealer, stock trader, doctor. No, that's not your identity. That's the thing you do. You are made in the image and likeness of a holy God. That's your destiny. He doesn't want you sick, he wants you healthy. He doesn't want you poor, he wants you wealthy and rich, not just about money. You know, There's some of you in this room, you're 100 times, there's most of you in this room are richer than me. The only difference is I act like I am. Because it's really not about the amount of money you have in your pocket, is it? It's the confidence that you have in your heart knowing who you are in Christ. Amen? Do you stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the promises in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And if you're here today, you may be a visitor coming here for the first time. You've never heard a message like this. You didn't even know the church was like this. Jesus is inviting you. He wants to give you that life. The new Adam. The one with a new nature. The one with a new outlook. The one with a new identity. For some of you, you've been Christians for a while, but you've just been confused. You never heard this message that it's not about religion and conversion and change of belief. It's a change of nature that comes as a result of putting our belief in Jesus. Whichever the case you may be, if you're here today and you're saying, God, I'm done with being like the man of the dust, I want to be like the man and woman from heaven. I want to have that new nature. I don't want to be charcoal, Lord, that gets crushed by pressure. I want to be coal that becomes a diamond under pressure. I want to have a new outlook, God, a new way of looking at life because of what you've done for me. And God, I'm trusting that even as I step out in faith today and believe, you will give me a new identity. And if that's you here this morning, would you just gently lift up your hands towards heaven. Just lift up both your hands towards heaven. God, I receive the new nature in Jesus Christ. I receive the new outlook. Open my eyes to the discovery of the wonderful things you have in store for me. And the key, Father, is a simple act of obeying you every day. Put down your hands for a minute. Founder of this church was a 25-year-old man. He was a missionary. His father was a wealthy businessman, very successful. And he heard the Lord say, come here and plant a church. He planted a church in the university belt. That was our first church. Tiny little thing. When he took up the tithes, it was actually clanging because there were centavos. There were coins. His family, his friends, most people thought he made the wrong decision. He made the right choice of obeying God. And now projecting that 30 years later, lives have been changed. I have a debt of gratitude to that man because I will not be half the man I will be if that man did not obey God. And that's true for you. When you obey God and choose to obey God, you're going to be impacting people, generations, lives. If you're a mother in this room, you're going to impact your children. Their children, their grandchildren. Stop. Stop from being the man of the dust and start living as the man from heaven, made possible to you in Jesus Christ. Close your eyes, lift up your hands towards heaven. Lord, seal the truth of these words in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.